Hi, this is Mark, and welcome to the Rock and Roll Content Show. If you haven't listened to us before, this is the podcast where we talk about content creation, but we take inspiration for it from significant artists, songs, albums, and moments in rock and roll history. Today's inspiration might be a little different because it's not very old. It's only a few weeks old at the time of this recording. We're talking about the Great War of 2022. No, not that one. No, not that other one. No, I'm talking about a real one that happened on social media. Between Falling in Reverse's Ronnie Radke and veteran rock DJ Eddie Trunk. Yeah, it's ridiculous, but I think that the topic they fought over has some application to what we do as modern content creators. Before we get to that, though, let me catch you up on how this battle started. It all started when Falling in Reverse, if you haven't heard them, they're kind of a modern heavy metal band, I guess. I'm not real sure exactly what they categorize themselves as, but fairly new band. They were forced to pull out of a scheduled festival appearance last month. Here's Radke.
I regret to inform you that we have to cancel and we have no other option. I'm sorry. We walk into rehearsals and our laptops are missing that we run all of our show on and stuff. And as in a band in 2022, you need your laptops.
So then in response, Eddie Trunk posted this. I don't have an audio clip of this, obviously, because it was a social media post. Here's Eddie Trunk in an AI voice.
This is astonishing. First I heard about this, I thought it was a joke to wind me up. How much longer are fans, promoters, media just going to accept the epidemic of live rock shows not really being live, paying your hard-earned money to see a band play live that's not truly live? And there are countless bands in 2022 that hone their craft and play live. Tons, new and old, including one who subbed for them in their slot, Jackal. No laptop needed there. This is just unreal, but at least I give them credit for being honest. Wow, I am closer than ever to launching my own band, and I can't sing or play a note. Simply amazing.
Then Radke fired back with some other stuff. I'm not going to include all that. You can go find it if you want to. Somehow Sebastian Bach, the former Skid Row singer, got involved. I don't know why. The main thing I took from all of this, though, was if these guys actually wanted to have a nuanced conversation about the way digital tools are used in modern rock music, they could have done some good for rock and roll in general. Instead, they woke up an angry Sebastian Bach. Nobody wants that. I love good old-fashioned analog rock and roll, but what does that mean exactly? Sure, there are some musicians who still run a totally analog rig, but at this point, even the old-timers have brought digital effects into their sound profile. Digital effects and sounds date back to the 70s with some of the original synthesizers. Musicians like Rick Wakeman and Brian Eno used early synthesizers in their music with Yes and Roxy Music, respectively. Eno went on to become a collaborator with David Bowie on the experimental albums known as his Berlin Trilogy. And speaking of Berlin, we had a whole genre of ambient experimental electronic rock and roll in Germany in the 1970s known as Krautrock. Electronic music and digital music continued to meld with traditional rock and roll through the 80s, 90s, and into today. So it's really no surprise that modern hard rock and metal bands are incorporating digital technology into their music, both in the studio and live. Eddie Trunk rails on digital tracks all the time, and by that, I think he means vocal tracks. Digital enhancements, sometimes digital recordings. Lip syncing, as it used to be commonly known. Things that help to support the vocalist on stage. He's hated that for years. He talks about it all the time. And I'm sure that's what he means here. Now, Falling in Reverse is not a band that I know that well. But I have listened to them. I listened to them a lot yesterday while I was preparing for this. And they have talented musicians. Their guitarist is undeniable. He's really good. In truth, what bands like Falling in Reverse do that I suspect Trunk and Sebastian Bach don't quite understand is they've got all of these orchestral tracks, layered vocals, other enhancements that support the music that fans expect to hear when they see the band live. Digital technology and live music makes it possible for triggers to be fired to sync up digital sounds and even stage effects that can be triggered by the musicians on stage or by the crew off stage. It lets touring bands who might not be able to afford to bring a whole string section or background singers with them on tour to deliver a sound that their audience expects to hear. I just saw In This Moment last night. They're a great example of this. Maria Brink and her band deliver a rock and roll experience that's visually and audibly exciting, though they have great musicians and theatrics on stage delivered by humans. I don't believe it could be carried out without digital support. So, you know, there's probably a couple of laptops off stage that are being run to cue different things. So what? Right now I'm going to play a clip for you from the Become the Night YouTube channel. It's a really great channel to listen to if you're a rock and roll fan or just a music fan in general. But on this episode, which I'll link to in the show notes for the full video, he interviews a guy who's kind of a backline sound guy for a major touring act. And he talks about what some of the digital stuff, laptops in particular, might be used for on stage.
Let us ask ourselves, why does Ronnie Radke and pretty much everyone use laptops for live shows? If you already take music performance seriously, you already know the answer to this. But for those of you who don't know, it is used for a wide variety of solutions. I had a chat with my friend Ben. He works for a major music artist as a live tech, and this is what he had to say about this situation. I am here with Ben McConnelly.
Hi, everybody. So I am a backline tech for a country artist called Kane Brown, and I take care of the drums, the entire bass rig, and the lead guitarist's instruments.
Talking about laptops and live shows, Ben, what would happen to Kane and his demeanor if for some reason all of the laptops for that show went missing?
He'd be mad. He'd be very mad. Like, that's a lot of money that we've spent. That's the brains of our entire show. Gone.
You say the brains of the entire show. What does it run?
It runs this stuff called Timecode, which runs to our pyro guys. It runs to our lighting guys. It runs to all of our players, the piano, so the keyboards, the fiddle players, Axe Effects, the lead guitarist, Axe Effects,
when you
the
say
rhythm
it
guitarist,
runs
Kemper.
To them. When you say it runs to them, is it playing the parts for them, or is it merely changing the timbre that comes out of the instruments when the musicians play?
It's changing the patches. That's all it is for them. It's cueing lights. It's cueing all of the, or not all, but most of the pyro stuff with lasers. So it's not like playing their instruments in any way, shape, or form. Our guys are up there after rehearsing, after putting in all the work, playing the parts. It's just so they don't have to stare down at a pedal board and like hit multiple at once. It just does those simple changes. Doesn't take away anything musically from any of our guys.
Could you potentially call that allowing the music performers to focus on the music and less on the technology?
Absolutely. Like, it allows them to be way more entertaining on stage. It allows them to look out in the audience and have a better time. Like, it allows them to purely focus on playing their parts right and doing their job, which is entertaining.
So I think that's the point I was trying to get across today. It's not the feud, the Twitter or TikTok or whatever war that happened between Ronnie Radke and Eddie Trunk. It's the things that digital technology is actually used for in modern live touring. It's the effects. It's all the support systems that help these great musicians put on a show that their audience comes to expect. You can't afford to bring a string section or a group of backing vocalists. You've got to have technology to fill in the gaps, to enhance what you're doing, to add something extra, to fire the pyrotechnics and the laser effects. That's where I think we can pull some inspiration from today for content creation. If you're listening to this podcast, you're probably a digital content creator of some kind, or a digital marketer, meaning what we do is digital. Typewriters and analog tape really aren't even an option today, even if we wanted them to be. So when I talk to content creators, writers and designers specifically, about the latest digital tech coming into the content world, and by that I mean artificial intelligence and machine learning, more often than not, I hear negative things or even dismissiveness. There's a reason for that. When AI for content first came on the scene a few years ago, the big belief was that writers would be out of a job in 5 years' time, and that brands could save money by eliminating human writers in favor of AI content generators. Though there are tools that purport to do that, and they're getting better, the fact is that they alone are not ready to be put into use without a lot of human support and editing. Just like in a rock and roll show, the technology that we're talking about here can really be used to enhance what good writers and good content creators are already doing today, but it won't fully replace it, at least not right now. AI is not going to do all that heavy lifting. AI lacks that human understanding, human knowledge and context that's required for great storytelling. It doesn't have a sense of humor, for instance. Not a good one, anyway. It doesn't have real emotion. Perhaps the better comparison to draw between digital tools in rock and roll and digital content would be in the realm of marketing automation. Tools as simple as MailChimp to as complex and powerful as Marketo and HubSpot allow marketers to set up digital triggers and automation. Sound familiar? Those tools help to nurture leads and take care of some of the time-consuming administrative tasks that go along with modern digital marketing. What else does this do? It enables marketers and creators to spend more time being creative, educational, engaging, informative, and less time stuck in an endless task list. In other words, what automation does for rock bands is what marketing automation does for digital marketers, and now is what AI can do for content creators. And not just writers. We've talked about writing today. Haven't even talked about designers yet. It's a whole new world out there for them too. So what kinds of things can AI actually do for content creators? Well, let's stick to writing for this example, but let's take a look at it. One thing that AI has gotten really good at in content creation is editing and proofreading. I've got to proofread this transcript when I finished recording the podcast. It would be utterly annoying if I didn't have Grammarly, who uses AI. Other apps like Writer do similar things. AI can also do things like captions and social descriptions, search engine optimization, stuff that humans can do, but it's not that fun. We want to be creative. We want to do the fun stuff. Let the robots handle some of the other stuff. It can help with things like planning, research, and outlining. So the next time someone asks you for an opinion on AI and content, don't be an Eddie Trunk. Don't be a Ronnie Radke, although I think he's kind of on the right side of this. Look at the nuance and think about some ways that it might be helpful to have a little robot buddy helping you with your content. Last night, I got to see the Blood 10th anniversary tour from the band In This Moment. I thought it was a pretty great Halloween show. It's so visually interesting, spooky, and creepy. It's always a fun experience. I think this was my fifth time seeing the band, and last night's show was my favorite. It's the 10th anniversary of their album Blood, which I think is their best. Most people would probably agree with that. Certainly their most popular. If you have a chance to see In This Moment live, particularly this year while they're doing this Blood 10th anniversary tour, I highly recommend it. I've linked to Blood in the show notes, so you can get it on either Apple Music or Spotify. Good music to get you in the mood for Halloween. As just an aside, I watched the two opening acts. You can't really see it on the In This Moment show because they've got all this stuff going on and smoke and darkness, but the opening acts were Nothing More and Sleep Token. Both of them were heavily using laptops and digital effects throughout the show. Did nothing but make it better. They were playing their own music. They were singing their own music. But those digital effects really enhanced the show. Good bands. I like them both. Next week, something a little bit different. One topic that we talk about quite a bit in content is repurposing. I'm going to be traveling the next couple weeks. So the next two episodes are repurposed content. Next week, look for one of the best episodes of my previous podcast, which was called Super Space Robot. This one's a little scary, just in time for Halloween, so I hope you'll enjoy that. It's a different kind of episode from what we do now, but I think you'll like it. Then the following week, I'm going to actually repurpose another old episode, I'll still be traveling, which is more along the lines of this current topic, where I actually tried a content AI platform called Jasper, and I let you know what I thought about it. Have a question or a comment, need to get a hold of me for some reason, send me an email at podcast@rockcontent.show. That's podcast@rockcontent.show. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.